Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, in the payments industry, we talk about friction all the time and how to remove as much of it as possible. But why? Well, on this episode, we're going to be doing a deep dive into the data behind what merchants can be leaving on the table due to a poor checkout experience and what merchants can do to solve those issues for today, but also make sure that they're well prepared for the payment choices and experiences of tomorrow. So to discuss this topic and more, I'm joined by Ashley DePopas, who is the co-founder and head of GoCart, and Don Apgar, who is the director of the Merchant Advisory Practice at Mercator Advisory Group. So there's certainly a lot of data and insight to unpack on this episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Ashley and Don, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here on today's episode, where we're really going to be kind of diving into consumer frustrations here, and particularly with the online payments and checkout process that we've got. Now, we've got this very interesting statistic here that saying one out of four customers will abandon payment if they experience friction. So Ashley, I want to start with you here because I think you're going to have some fantastic initial insight to that. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the trends that you're seeing kind of cause this friction that's causing this 25% abandonment.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. When we started building the concept of GoCart and testing this hypothesis of friction, I found that statistic quite amazing, just given the number of solutions out in the market today. I was wondering, you know, why are people still abandoning carts? So this is something that we really dug into. And it was important because consumers remember bad experiences. And that's not a good thing for merchants who are trying to sell products and services. So there's a couple things that we found insights in researching thousands of consumers, doing usability studies. And the first one is that folks hate logging in. They 50% of them cited that they're frustrated when they encounter a moment where they have to create an account or type in a password just to be able to check out. And so that was the first one. And I totally get it. Merchants want to create loyalty around account logins. And there's ways that you can create loyalty with good experiences. But that was by far the first one that consumers are raising their hand and saying, man, I wish this would go away. The second trend that we found, kind of maybe not as surprising, is that 20% of consumers abandon carts just because they just get distracted. We're on our phones all day. It takes seconds for us to get a text or a like on Instagram to switch our brains to be focusing on something new. And in checkout, when forms are long and when there's too many fields, it's really easy for us to become distracted. And so that was another trend, that forms are long and consumers don't like that lengthy process and they often get distracted. I mean, I remember times where, especially in the pandemic, I'd order food online because I was hungry trying to get food in between meetings and I wouldn't order my food and opt to just eat from my fridge because the form was too long and I needed to hop back to another meeting. So that's an example of just things taking too long and creating that moment of frustration for me. The last one was 77% of consumers want an account that's tied to everything that they use for a payment method, which was an interesting statement to hear consumers say, and we heard this in ethnographic research as well as in surveys, but they want this choice and flexibility of all these different payment methods, and then they also want it to be really simple and easy to check out. And a lot of times those two things don't go hand in hand. So while that was an interesting insight, it totally makes sense why there's still a lot of friction today, because it's hard to solve for both of those things at once, and we're seeing a lot of players trying to do that.
Yeah, so it's so true, you know, and that's, I think, contributed to a lot of the popularity of something like Apple Pay and some of the e-wallets, because, you know, it's like going to the doctor's office for the first time and you get form after form after form, right? And it's name and address and you just like stop, right? It's a
Yeah, I mean, I certainly share that same pain as a consumer. And Ashley, I mean, I think your example there was spot on of just, okay, I need the immediacy of this. This is not just a like, okay, like I can get from the payments ecosystem side of things, like, hey, I understand why I need to fill out these forms. Well, consumers are not payment experts. Like, they're not going to get like, hey, well, I kind of need all this information for KYC or whatever the case is. It's right. No, like I should be able to kind of just start initially typing in my name and everything gets auto-filled. And it's kind of goes from that, the almost the Amazon effect of the one button, I order it, ship it, it's going to be here immediately when I need it. And I think this digital acceleration that we've certainly seen in the payments ecosystem has really expedited a lot of this. I think a lot of consumers were already kind of in that mindset, but as we started to see more individuals build the trust of e-commerce, and that's across generations, you started to see that portion of kind of that friction build of just, well, why can't this be easier? Why can't this be more fluid side of things? And before we get into kind of how it is organizations solve for those pain points, I am kind of curious, you know, what are the trends that you're really seeing then kind of go across different industries? Is this, you know, is it all very similar? Is it like, okay, no, it's different for restaurants versus the service industry? Like, are there any kind of industry specific trends that you can point us to?
Yeah, sure. And that was another interesting discovery in doing our research to building GoCart, which solves for a lot of these friction points. So when we looked at, you know, best in class solutions that exist today, what you'll see is that retail has set the standard when it comes to consumer expectations around checkout. I mean, you already mentioned Amazon, ShopPay have basically set best in class experiences, and now consumers are expecting that everywhere. So when you talk to them about their frustrations of checkout in restaurant, in healthcare and services, you're going to hear an even stronger sentiment around that frustration. In restaurants specifically, you know, we saw a lot of restaurants getting forced to move online and into digital channels due to the pandemic. And so those friction moments that probably weren't solved for because e-commerce digital checkout wasn't as much as a pain point as paying in person was, now you're starting to hear the consumers say things like, this is taking too long, where's my wallet that I want to check out, I don't trust this site. And all of those things cause friction. One of the trends we saw in the pandemic as well in the restaurant space is the rise in usage of digital apps and these digital delivery apps. So they not only solve for the ability to find the food you want, but also they make it extremely easy to pay for the food you want. And for merchants and restaurants, that's really frustrating because they're actually taking a lot of the margin away from restaurants who are making the food and offering that service to consumers. On the healthcare and services side, we're starting to see a trend in moving into digital payments, but when we looked at the data and talking to consumers, the number one issue is still that everything's paper-based or check-based. And so like there's a lack of payment methods that they're frustrated by not having. There's a lack of digital experience and just good checkout experience in general that consumers don't like. The issue there isn't necessarily cart abandonment, because you have to pay for your services, you have to pay your bills, but what merchants are seeing is that, you know, it's slower to capture their revenue. Time to revenue takes longer. Consumers kind of do it as they please because it's so high friction. It's not easy to get done. So yeah, we do see friction and some of these issues across all industries, but kind of the context and the situations are a bit different.
Yeah, that was a great point that you made about, you know, even if the form pre-populates, if the process takes too long, customers get frustrated and they think, well, something's wrong. What's the problem? And, you know, merchants are their own worst enemies because it's always a constant balance between fraud and chargeback protection and, you know, taking friction out of the process. And, you know, what happens is that, you know, the consumer will put in all their data and then click, you know, buy now or submit or whatever. And, you know, the merchant is now running this through a fraud engine. It's bouncing off a couple of different sites. And that's become a huge issue in that whole fraud prevention in the back office is what's the response time? What's the throughput time? You know, how many milliseconds is it going to add? Because, mm-hmm. You know, even at 30 milliseconds, if you're out to three different fraud prevention databases, that adds another second to the transaction, which doesn't sound like a lot. But, you know, as you mentioned, you know, our expectations are being more finely tuned with every transaction, you know, and as things get better, we expect them to get even, you know, better yet, right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And I mean, I think kind of that timing aspect makes a lot of sense. I mean, when you kind of take also a look from a web development standpoint, I mean, Google kind of sets a standard and it's like, hey, for a web page to load, they're like, it should really be 2 seconds. So in your example, Don, if you're saying, hey, a payment's got to bounce all over this, and Google's like, hey, the whole page should load in 2 seconds and your payment takes longer than that, Google knows, hey, somebody is going to abandon. So it kind of really puts a precedent of that. Yes. Hey, me as the merchant, I need to have, you know, that time to be able to make sure that this is legitimate. But consumers aren't waiting around for that time. They've come to that very, very instant gratification. So I want to then now kind of get into, well, how then are companies trying to solve then really for all of these pain points that we're talking about?
There are a myriad of ways that companies are trying to solve this problem. We could probably go on for days around how people are solving for friction in payments. You know, the best advice that I could give to anyone, and we're just talking about it right now, is reduce the time it takes to make a payment. Every second counts. And, you know, a couple of ways I've seen companies doing this, and also when we talk to clients about how they can optimize checkout with GoCart, you see companies starting to give consumers every payment method and every digital wallet option that exists today. And they want to give consumers that optionality and flexibility. But what it does is it crowds the checkout and that the UX on a checkout page. And then you've got companies that are continuing to push consumers towards their account logged in experience where, you know, the KYC is a bit stronger, the payment information is saved. In the pandemic, we saw the rise of adoption of things like QR codes to make it more quicker and other kind of physical formats of payments. And then we've even seen more startups come online this year with a one-click checkout option, and GoCart being one of them. We're solving for these pain points too, because we saw that they still exist, and they still exist across every single industry. And no one's really solving it across industries yet. I mean, what we look at doing is, essentially, we're a checkout solution that recognizes the consumer instantly, right before they dive into a high friction experience. We recognize an email of a GoCart user, and with no password, we pop up, you authenticate yourself and pay. And we've designed this to work across devices. We've made sure that the experience is cohesive across websites, text payments, email payments, QR code payments. Merchants are exploring so many different ways to sell into different channels that now it was really important that we made that checkout very consistent for them. You know, some of our clients are looking at ways of exploring how to text their customers for payment after dropping their dog off the vet, or texting their payments to pay for their oil change when they drop off their car for, you know, a servicing. Other ways are just to embed GoCart on their website to accelerate their guest checkout page. And lastly, just embedding one click with an email to re-engage consumers, you know, sending a product that you want to sell and market to via email, and then just clicking a one click checkout, never leaving your email browser. So those are some ways that we're solving for it. We've made it really simple to make sure there's a no rip and replace of your website, no need to change processors. The idea is that it's super frictionless, kind of anywhere you want to engage with a consumer.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. After attending the Merchant Risk Council out in Las Vegas last week, you know, it's the discussion was going the other way. You know, there was a whole session on refund policy abuse, right? Mm-hmm. And consumers that are recognized and validated from an identity standpoint. So we know it's you, we know it's your card, we know it's not out and out fraud. But, you know, out of the last 10 items you've ordered, you've sent 9 of them back. Mm-hmm. Right. And so now we want to, you know, we want to screen for that, and we want to present you with a different return option, you know, based on your shopping history. So that's just another step in the transaction. So there's so much stuff that the merchant is wanting to happen behind the scenes, you know, and the challenge is being able to execute consistently without a delay in the transaction, right? Because, you know, you guys do a great job. You know, you authenticate the customer and it's like, all right, here's my payment stuff, let's go, you know, and it's up to the merchant to complete the transaction. So, you know, it's you can only go so far in the friction thing. And that's, I think, part of the thing everybody's trying to solve for is that how do you take the friction out and also not take out too many controls, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, one of the things I kind of find interesting is listening in on this conversation here is that typically when we talk about KYC, we're kind of like, we talk about the compliance side of things here. But actually, really what I'm kind of getting from your organization is you're like, well, KYC kind of expands a little bit beyond that, where there's a multitude of payment choice that's going on in the industry that if you know your customer and you know your payment preference to it, you can begin to remove some of that friction initially from the onset of this. Do I kind of understand that a bit from your organization?
Yeah. You're so right. One of the, when we kind of talk about identity as go-kart, your identity is tied to different payment methods that you prefer to use and the payment methods that merchants want to surface. So right now we support debit, credit. We're about to roll out buy now, pay later, pay with bank and other methods that consumers want, but they can't always find consistently everywhere. And then now your account is tied to those and you can quickly check out with any method you'd like.
Yeah, that's huge because, you know, as you also pointed out, you know, crowding too many payment options, you know, it's the one, you know, one side of the coin, you say, well, we want to offer choice. We want consumers to have the most amount of choices. But, you know, there's a diminishing returns, right? Because too many choices just, you know, it's like deer in the headlights. People get confused. The page is now crowded. I can't find the button that says pay, right? I can't find the checkout button. So being able to streamline that process with something like GoCart is a huge advantage, I would think.
Yeah, we certainly don't need checkout pages to start looking like NASCAR. That is definitely a point we don't want to get to or go to. So now, Ashley, before we wrap things up here, you know, I'm kind of curious because we certainly unpacked a lot of things of what's currently going on in the ecosystem, but I'd love to get from your perspective, maybe taking a look down the rabbit hole or through the looking glass here of, from your perspective, what does the future of checkout, you know, look like and what are consumers really going to be demanding down the road?
Yeah, let me take out my crystal ball and tell you, but I'll tell you what I think. So there are a number of disparate checkout experiences today. And, you know, with kind of this industry standard being set in retail, I believe what we're going to start to see is all verticals shifting to kind of a standard checkout UX. And this is set in motion by some of the top providers. And I think all verticals will start to adopt these standards and then have minor tweaks based on, you know, the needs of that industry. You know, to me, like the frictionless, fast, most easy checkout experiences out there are going to be the top players in the space. And for consumers, we're relentless. That's what we're expecting. Every second matters to us. Every additional moment wasted, we're frustrated by. And, you know, that's a high bar to meet. You know, I do believe that identity will continue and start to become even more central component when it comes to checkout. And you'll start to see identity play a lot more closely in the checkout provider space. I mean, from a payment method perspective, we're already demanding things like buy now, pay later. We're demanding rewards and more loyalty offers for what products we use and buy. And, you know, soon crypto is going to be the next thing that we're looking at to buy with. And I think lastly, what we'll see is as checkout providers kind of rise to the top and optimize these experiences and attach identity with it, you're going to start to see checkout providers move into expanding their offerings beyond payment options.
Yeah, I think that's totally right because, you know, we're starting to see and what's being facilitated in the market at companies like GoCart is the move from integrated payments to embedded payments. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked me the other day, well, what's the difference? You know, an integrated payments means that you can move seamlessly from the shopping workflow to the payments workflow. Embedded payments means that the payment workflow happens at the same time as the shopping workflow. There is no separate workflow for payments, right? And yeah. So when you go to a common cart platform or a payment checkout platform like a GoCart, that means that, you know, you're taking a lot of that burden off the merchant. Well, who is this person? Is he validated? You know, do we know he is who he says he is? Has he shopped other places before? You know, has he charged stuff back? So all that stuff now starts to expand the scope of what a common checkout platform is capable of. And it just, you know, continues to refine the process, take out more and more friction. And send that payment process further into the background, right? Embedded into the whole shopping experience.
Yeah, Don, I totally agree with you. I mean, the merchants that we're working with across industry, whether it's restaurant, retail, or even healthcare and services, they're all starting to look at payments as a strategy to actually drive revenue and drive new customers to them, and not just marketing. And that's what's really interesting about embedded payments, because now it's not just one step in the process that you need to complete your transaction. It's what drives you to consider buying the product, to find the product now. And that's a really cool shift for the payments industry in general.
Yeah, that's not unlike, how merchants marketed Visa and MasterCard acceptance 30 years ago, right? It's like shop here because you can use your Visa card and you can pay it off over time, right?
Exactly.
And it's the same thing. We're driving consumers to, hey, you know what? I want to shop there because I know I can check out quickly, easily, and with a minimal amount of information and hassle. Right. So I think it's a great point.
Yeah, I certainly have to agree. And I mean, the one point that I think I would add to that is, especially when you're looking at an organization such as yours, GoCart, there, you also get a little bit of that network effect, which I think kind of goes back to the whole KYC portion of it, of like, okay, like we're established with all of these merchants already. So if Bob over here decides to shop at your merchant location, well, us GoCart, we know who Bob is. Like, we know what his payment preferences are. We know what his likes, his dislikes are. We know, you know, where what he likes to pay with. In that situation. But I think we'll end it on that note there, because I think we could certainly dive into things further here, especially that crypto mention that you brought up there, Ashley, but we'll leave that for another conversation. So Ashley, Dawn, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking with me, and I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks, Ryan.